Psalm chapter 5 this morning, we're going to be talking about this subject. Good morning, Lord. Good morning, Lord. I want to draw your attention to verse 3 because I believe this is the key to the psalm. It says, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." So here is David. He is surrounded by enemies. He looks around and sees all these people who oppress him and who oppose him, and he sees his troubles. But what does David do? When he wakes up in the morning, he is seeking God for his strength and help. He looks around and sees all these troubles, but then he looks up and he sees God. And David saw meeting with God in the morning as something important. Do you know Jesus also saw that as important? In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says, "And in the morning, rising a great way while up before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed." So here's Jesus. He also sees meeting with God the Father in the morning as an important thing. And so the question is, do you see meeting with God in the morning as important? It was George Washington Carver, whose agriculture research was blessed by God. He found 300 uses for peanuts. Many parents owe their thanks to George Washington Carver for inventing peanut butter to go with jelly. Otherwise, hey kids, imagine just eating a jelly sandwich for lunch. So we owe a lot to George Washington Carver. He said this: "There's no need for anyone to be without direction in the midst of the perplexities of life. Are we not plainly told, 'In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths'?" Nothing is as important in your Christian life as meeting with Jesus, walking with the Lord. And I believe that morning devotional time can be such a benefit to your Christian walk. So let's think about this subject this morning. First of all, talk directly to God. These are just going to be some practical helps today, some practical pointers from the Psalms. And the first one is talk directly to God. If you look at verse 1 and 2, it says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray." So here's David. He has a very heavy heart about matters upon his mind, things going on in his life. He was the king of an unstable kingdom. Absalom is pursuing him. Absalom took the throne away from his father. And David knows better than to struggle alone in his own strength. He knows better than that. That leads to unnecessary fretting and worrying. And so he seeks the Lord in his special morning devotion time. I just read yesterday about how we fail to look up to God when we have all these tangled knots in our life. It causes a lot of anxiety and worry. You've been there, and I've been there. So here's, imagine a little girl, her shoes, she's trying to get them untied, and they're just in knots. And her father standing next to her. And she tries and tries to get these things untangled, and she can't, so she starts getting anxiety as a little girl. And then she just falls down and sits down, is trying to untangle them and can't. And she starts crying. And finally, she just gives up, puts her head in her hands and just bawls because she can't get it untangled. And all the while, her father's right there. And what she needs to do is just look up to her father and give those tangles to him. Talk directly to God. God wants to hear from you. God wants to talk with you. God invites you to do so. Hebrews chapter 4 is a verse, a passage that we've seen before, but I want to remind you again. It is an invitation. It says, "Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. So here's the basis of praying. Jesus Christ is in heaven right now in that position of our great high priest. And it goes on to say this, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So Jesus himself understands what you feel because he came and he was in the flesh. He understands these things. He knows what you're going through. He was tempted, but yet without sin. So he understands the difficulties. And then here's the invitation. Let us therefore come boldly, means with confidence, unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Written primarily to the Jewish believers, the book of Hebrews, the throne of grace was talking about the Ark of the Covenant, the throne above that, the mercy seat. Nobody would have ever thought about walking into the most holy place and approaching God. They would not have done that with confidence. But now that Jesus has ascended into the tabernacle of heaven, we have a great high priest there, and we are invited by God himself to come to the throne, not of judgment, but of mercy, when we need that help. So first of all, talk directly to God. The second thing is, have the right attitude of heart. Look at verse 2 again. Hearken unto the voice of my cry. Notice this, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. Now, who is praying this? Who is writing this? It's David, King David. So David leads the kingdom. David commands the army. David leads men. He is a leader of leaders. But what does this king need to do, King David? David says, I am a king, but God, you are my king. And I'm your willing servant. I need to be led. I need to be directed. I need for you to show me your will. And I, as the king of the people, submit my will to your will as my king. And this is a heart of submission to God. God, I'm coming to talk to you. But when I'm coming to talk to you, I am also willing to listen to you. And do whatever you want. Third thing we see in the psalm is make this meeting a habit. Look at verse 3. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Do you know habits can be good and habits can be bad? And we all have habits, and hopefully we all have good habits. Brushing your teeth is a good habit. It's a good habit. Drinking water is a good habit. It's just a good habit to get into. Driving on the right side of the road is a good habit. Some of you need to learn that. Drive on the right side of the road. Our time with God is a good spiritual habit to develop. And if you look at verse 3, there's that word direct. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. That word direct is the same Hebrew word. If you were to read it in Hebrew, not in English, but in Hebrew, it is the same Hebrew word used in Genesis 22:9, where the wood is being laid on the altar. It is the same Hebrew word in Leviticus 24:8, where they set the bread on the table of the tabernacle. And that Hebrew word that is used is speaking of a deliberate habit or a habitual habit or giving great attention to something. And so when David says, I'll direct my prayer unto thee, he is speaking more of just a one-time thing. He is speaking of a deliberate act or a deliberate habit that he has in the morning of doing so. You will never have a habitual time with the Lord if you are not intentional about that habit. You have to make that a priority and make it something that you're intentional about. The fourth thing we see in the psalm is give God your attention. Look at verse 3 again. I'll emphasize the last part of it. It says, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." There were problems and problem people all around David. We said that. So he looked up as to not to be distracted by those things and those people around him. I want to encourage you to do something. When you come to your devotion time, do your best to turn off the noise and distractions and focus upward to God. We today are a noise-filled society. Our society is noise. People always have headphones on, earbuds, Bluetooth, looking at iPhones, TV on, radio, noise. And so to look up indicates an intentional act. God, I'm going to do what I can to turn off the noise and purposefully look to you. You're more important at this time than all the noise around me, than all the other things that command my attention. God, you are more important in this time than these things, and I'm going to look up to you. You know, just a practical thing, you may need to leave for work a little bit early and park in a quiet spot to have your time with God. Maybe you as husband should volunteer to watch the kids for a time to allow your wife to have her time with God and then switch off. What can you do during the time while you're watching the kids? Maybe you can teach your children how to have their time with God. Maybe take a children's storybook or something on their level or whatever age they are and teach them. Give God your attention. Number 5, confess your sins to God. Look at verse 4. "For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee." In a later Psalms, it says, Psalm 66:18, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." So what hinders our morning time with the Lord? What hinders that time of devotion? It is unconfessed sin. When we come to the Lord, we need to examine our own hearts and examine our own actions. And if there's sin there, we need to confess it to God. We're going to talk more actually about that tonight in the next psalm, the need to confess sin. David spends a whole psalm on that. We, as believers, need to properly view sin as God views it. The world doesn't view sin as God views it. They have a whole different mentality of what sin is and not sin. But it's time believers get serious about sin in our lives and hearts. You know, God is not neutral about sin. If you'll look at verse 4, 5, and 6, it says, "For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing or lies. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man." What it is saying is God isn't neutral about sin in this world. And God isn't neutral about sin in our lives. And if God isn't neutral about sin, neither should we be. We need to take it seriously. Number 6, we need to worship God. If you look at verse 7, "But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple." Do you know part of meeting with the Lord is worship of him? He deserves your worship. And so when you come to your time to meet with the Lord and pray, not only bring your needs and your requests, but also spend some time telling God how great he is, how good he is. I want you to notice the title of this psalm. It's in many of your Bibles. It's to the chief musician upon Nehilath, a psalm of David. Now, what does that word Nehilath mean? What in the world does that mean? What is that? The best scholars can translate, it is believed to indicate the way the psalm is to be sung. You'll find many different types of these titles. It is a lament or more of a serious melody is to be sung with. The exact musical expression is debated, but regardless, it is sung to God in worship and prayer. The collection of Psalms was the people's hymn book as they worshiped God. So you look at the Psalms. That was the early believers' hymn book. That's what they sung. And they had different tunes to the Psalms they sung. That's, we don't know what they are today. We don't know exactly how those tunes went. But when you meet with God in the morning, what it teaches us is worship Him. First of all, number seven, seek God's help. Seek God's help. Look at verse 8. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. There's going to be three requests that David's going to make here. The first one is, I need God to guide me. Lord, I need you to guide me. Look at verse 8. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. Let me ask you, do you want God to guide you in life? Do you want God to guide you for the day? You cannot properly be guided in the correct direction unless you come to the Lord and submit to His direction. You say, I want my way, I want this way, I want that way, and by the way, I want it blessed. Okay, God? That's not how prayer works. Our morning devotion time, in the very first start of our day, is the very best time to say, Lord, today I submit my will to your will. Guide me in your path. Here's the second request he prayed. I need God to deal with problem people. Look at verse 9 and 10. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher, an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. So David is saying, here is what those who oppose me are like. This is their attitude. This is their actions. And here is what I'm dealing with. God, here's what I'm asking you. You destroy them. You confuse their plans. You throw them out. Now, that sounds pretty harsh to our modern ears, doesn't it? But what David is praying was, Lord, you deal with the rebels so I can focus on you. God, I take my hands off these people so you can deal with them. You can't fold your hands in prayer if they are wrapped around the neck of your enemy. You can't pray with your lips if your lips are cursing your enemy. You can't focus on God if you're engaged in back and forth battle on social media. And then here's the third one. I need God's blessings. Verse 11 and 12. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee, for thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor, wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Years ago, I met a woman who had a very strange belief about prayer. She thought that it was selfish to pray anything for herself, even for her own problems. That's a very strange belief. She just said, I believe it's being very selfish to pray for myself, even if it's problems. And so I think I helped her those years ago by showing her scriptures where it's okay to pray for yourself as long as you're seeking God's will. In fact, God invites you to pray for your needs. It's not selfish to seek God's blessings in your life. Just realize that the ultimate purpose of His blessings is to magnify Jesus in your life and return glory to Him. It's okay to pray. Your morning time with the Lord is so important for your spiritual growth. I do personally believe that we need to begin the day with Jesus. It's kind of like the manna that the children of Israel collected in the morning. If neglected, it melted away by the later day. They had to collect it in the morning, otherwise it was gone. The morning meaning time with God is special, it's needed. And if neglected, we lose the edge for that day. In fact, that's why I like to send out the Daily Discovery Devotion Monday through Saturday. I've actually been sending it out the night before, so that way you can wake up whenever if you want to read that. And I know the emails require more steps to read, and I apologize for that. I wish texting was an option again. But I send it the way that I can send it. But I send it out to you because I want to encourage you to do something. I want to encourage you to meet with the Lord in the morning. So make an intentional choice today, right now, to begin each day with Jesus. And wake up in the morning, and the first thought on your mind is, "Good morning, Lord."